by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw us. And now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Who would stand? Thanks to your grace we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Who would stand? Thanks to your grace we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw us. And now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come.
Bulletin, you'll see up on the inside on the left side, Psalm 100. It's called a psalm for giving grateful praise. And especially this morning, we're praising the Lord for 40 years here at Huron Baptist Church. So let's read this psalm together. Would you read along with me? Just the five verses there. Ready? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
It's a real privilege to be here on your 40th anniversary. We thought the next song would be fitting. And just to give you a little introduction to the song, I lived many years, 26 years in Central Asia, and half of that time was in Pakistan, in the Muslim world. So what I came to appreciate was the value of fellowship and community. Because there, when a Muslim turned to Christ, they were on their own. It was like they were totally exposed to all the elements and the satanic activity that went on. They didn't have a community of believers. And just thinking through that, I wrote this song about the importance and the meaning of what it is to have a church family. As two chords are stronger than one chord alone, as harmony adds to a beautiful song, as my hand in yours will make both of us strong, so Jesus has given me you. As burdens grow lighter when good friends are near, as his voice through me helps to quiet your fear, as I gain new strength at the sound of your cheer, so Jesus has given me you.
Given you.
to grieve with, to give and receive with, to hope and believe with, my family in Christ. To suffer and serve with, to love and to learn with, to reach a lost world with, my family in Christ. Committed to Jesus, I'm knitted to you. Committed together, great things he will do. For many hands strengthen the work of a few. And Jesus has given me you.
Given you.
He's given you to laugh with, to grieve with, to give and receive with, to hope and believe with, my family in Christ. To suffer and serve with, to love and to learn with, to reach a lost world with, my family in Christ. Lord, you have decreed it, you cherish and feed it, you know that we need it. A church set on fire,
set on fire,
set on fire, to laugh with and to grieve with, to give and receive with, to hope and believe with, my family in Christ. To suffer and serve with, to love and to learn with, to reach a lost world with, my family in Christ. To reach a lost world with, my family in Christ.
Audrey and Cheryl, great to have Dr. Jerry Benn with us today. You can call him Jerry. I know many of you were looking for Liz. She couldn't make it. So we have to put up with just the worser half. But I was going to say, I remember him all my life, but maybe only 49 years of those. Great to have you here, Dad.
Well, good morning, Sarnia.
Morning.
That's great. He is my son. You may say, but he doesn't look like you. You don't look like him. He looks like his mother. But that's positive, okay? And you say, where'd he get that hair? From his mother, okay? Are there any seniors here today? Okay, I have my favorite story for seniors. All right, you ready? Okay. Elderly couple walk into a fast food restaurant one cold evening. The wife makes her way to a table while her husband orders their dinner. When he joins her a few minutes later, the young man sitting across from them notices he only bought one meal. After sitting down, the husband splits the burger in two and places one half in front of his wife. He then carefully counts the fries, divides them in equal portions. "Excuse me," said the young man. "I can't help but notice that you only got one meal for the two of you. I'd be more than happy to buy one for your wife if you allow me." "That's all right," the husband replies with a smile. "We've been sharing everything now for 2 years, or for years, more than 2 years. A few minutes later, the young man asks, "Ma'am, why aren't you eating? You said you share everything. What are you waiting for?" The teeth she replies. I like it too. Cheryl and Audrey and I, we used to travel for the college. I assured them I have a new message. For a number of years, Sunday morning we'd be in one church, Sunday night we'd be in another church, and Cheryl is a second cousin of mine. We're hoping to have her mom here today, but she's not well enough to be here and just to join one another. The Lofgrens from West Park in London, good to have you guys visiting here today too. And it's a new message for you too, I think. I was pastor for a number of years, their pastor in London, Ontario. All of us have a past, a present, and a future, correct? The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God is immutable. In case my son has not taught that word to you, it means that God does not change. God is always the same. We change. We grow, we get gray hair, and we pass on to glory. We all change. But our God doesn't change. What I want to share with you today is the God of our past, our present, and our future. The Word of God tells us our past. In fact, if you look in the Word of God, you find there are five worlds of the Bible. Five worlds of the Bible. I want to review today those five worlds and see how we fit, how we relate to the five worlds of the Bible. The first world of the Bible is the pre-fall world. That world was very different than what we are today, right? I mean, very, very different. Things that are true today were not true then. Man always makes a mistake when he thinks that he can evaluate or judge our world today on the basis of just what we see, what we know, the scientific method. God tells us that the pre-fall world was very unique. The second world, the Bible, is a pre-flood world. Again, very different from the pre-fall world, but again, quite unique. I want you to open your Bibles, please. We're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 3 and note a few things about the second world of the Bible before we look at the third world, the fourth world, and the fifth world of the Bible. So 2 Peter chapter 3. I know you'll recognize the passage. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand, in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? We believe that Jesus is coming back to this planet. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. That's called the law of uniformitarianism. In other words, we evaluate, we judge everything on the basis of what we see and observe today. God says that does not work. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and fire are reserved for heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. I'm going to teach you something today. TCM. You need to remember TCM. Most people today would say, if you said there was a universal flood, I don't believe it. No way, Jose. I can't accept the fact that there was water covering this whole earth. Do you realize that there's enough water on this planet that if the earth were completely flat, the earth would be covered by 1.7 miles of water. There's that much water on this planet. The Bible tells us it did not rain until the time of the flood, and so where was all this water? Some kind of canopy of water surrounding this planet. We're all noticing this past year all the floods. Alberta flood, Toronto flood, the U.S. has been flooding everywhere, okay? All because of 6 inches of rain in a couple hours. Can you imagine raining 40 days and 40 nights? Can you comprehend that? 40 days and 40 nights of rain? That would be a major flood, folks. All right? All of a sudden, this water's on this planet. When's the last time you thanked God for the universal flood? I'm serious. Do you realize that we would not have the natural gas or all the oil by which we run this world's economy apart from the universal flood? Are you not amazed that no matter where we drill for oil, we find oil, whether it be in the North Sea, the polar regions? Why is Russia so interested in our Arctic? Isn't that interesting? It's not the polar bears, folks. Russia is concerned there's all kinds of oil up there. You say, where did all that oil come from, folks? There's only one explanation. The scientists will say it's millions or billions of years. God says, I'll tell you how it all got there. And so there was a catastrophe on this planet. And so we have all this plant life, all this animal life, all this human life, all of a sudden all compacted together. And so, folks, seriously, when you leave today, you're burning Aunt Bertha in your oil tank, your gas tank, right? It's all the life that existed before God destroyed it with a flood. And so you say, how does this thing work? TCM, time. Do you see what the latest is now? 13.8 billion years. You say, Jerry, where did they get those numbers? I don't know. 13.8 billion years? As soon as they discover some new planets or galaxies out there, they add a few million years. Are you aware they still have not found the edge of the universe? You know that, right? The more powerful telescope, they explore, and they've yet to find the edge of our universe. Maybe it has no edge. We think it has to have an edge. I don't know about you. We were talking in Dan's class today about heaven. Where's Dan? Thank you, Dan. A great class, folks, if you're missing it today, and talking about heaven and what heaven is like. This is all temporary. You know that, right? This is all temporary. And so we've got chance, the T, then the C stands for chance. You say, how could all this evolve? And the answer is chance. Chance requires greater faith than trusting and believing in God. Do you ever think about that? It does. I mean, all the chances that had to happen for my eye to develop, for my hearing to develop. Folks, give me a break. And so you need all this time, you need all chance, then you need matter. Is matter eternal? Matter's not eternal. God made, right? And so evolution to work needs all kinds of time, 13.8 billion years, I'm being told. It takes all kinds of chance, and it takes all kinds of matter. In other words, one-celled something had to exist for us to develop. And here's the bottom line. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the scientist, or are you going to believe someone who is there? I want to believe someone who is there. Is there someone who is actually there as a witness to all these the things that he made? Yeah, God's a witness. Who is yet to catch God in a lie? Has God ever lied? God's never lied. And so God tells us, this is what I did, this is how I did it, and this morning we're going to discover why God did it. That's how we're going to end the message in a minute, okay? Why God did it. Okay, so we go to the first world of the Bible. It's the pre-fall world, very unique world. The second world of the Bible is the pre-flood world, again, very different. Do you realize, according to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, there is no winter till the flood? Do you realize that? There's no winter on planet Earth until after the flood. So until the flood, we don't need all the coal and the oil, the gas. But after the flood, because there now it will be winter on this planet, we will now need the oil, the coal, because how could we exist? So how could 7 billion people exist on this planet without the fossil fuel? You understand that? And so God did this so we would have fossil fuel so we could survive our winters and live as we live today. The third world of the Bible is the present world. We know this world, okay? Is this world getting better? Okay, we all agree, okay. Aren't we in a mess? Is this world a mess? No matter where we turn, we've got a mess in Ottawa, right? We got a mess in Washington. Folks, this world's it's a mess. You know why it's in a mess? Because of sin, because of the sin nature, and so we all struggle. So the first world is a pre-fall world. The second world of the Bible is a pre-flood world. The third world of the Bible is our present age, and we're not going to dwell there. I want to go now to the fourth world of the Bible. Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. And we're going to look at the fourth world of the Bible. This is what's coming next. Folks, we don't need a horoscope, do we, to know the future, right? Okay, the Bible tells us all we need to know about the future. Do you believe that? Yeah. The Bible tells us all we need to know about the future. My Bible tells me how this age will end. Can you name the battle which will end this present age? It's called the Battle of Armageddon. But that's not the final battle of the ages, is it? That's how this age will end. So the first world of the Bible ended with the fall of man. The second world of the Bible ended with the flood. The third world of the Bible will end with Armageddon. Now let's look at the fourth world of the Bible. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 20 of Revelation. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now you say, Jerry, could this not be symbolic? No, because the very nature of language here, this is an actual 1,000 years. So we have, next to this age, when it ends at Armageddon, we have then another period of time which will last 1,000 years. I threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. Notice now what Satan does. He deceives the nations. Why will this world never know peace. You know why? Because Satan is deceiving the nations. I mean, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that the United Nations, good intention, will never be able to accomplish their ultimate goal of world peace. It will never happen, okay? Because as long as Satan is able to do his deeds, he will be able to deceive the nations. Until the 1,000 years were ended, after that he must be set free for a short time. You'll notice now, 6 times in this passage we have the word 1,000. So this period of time will be 1,000 years. Let's go down to verse 6. Blessed are holy are those, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second, death, has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. I want to go down now to verse 11 of chapter 20. I want you to notice now how this next age will end. It will end with the battle of Gog and Magog mentioned back in verse 7. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number they are like the sand on the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves, but fire came down from heaven and destroyed or devoured them. Now verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. This is how the next age will end. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. Our names are in the book of life. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your name is in the book of life. You say, how do I get my name in the book of life? By trusting in Jesus Christ. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, your name is not in the book of life. Okay? Is your name there? Do you actually know, yes, my name is in the book of life, because there was a time in my life I realized I was lost in sin, I needed salvation, Christ is my Lord and my Savior, I accepted my heart and my life, and because that is fact, my name's in the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Do you realize that God is the greatest bookkeeper ever? God is keeping books on every single person who's ever lived. Okay? Every single person. There's not one person who's ever lived on this planet that God does not have a record of that person's life. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Eternity is a long time. Right? If your name is not in the book of life, if you do not know Jesus Christ, you will always exist. There's never a time that anyone who's ever existed will cease to exist. I would like to say differently today, but I can't. I would like to be able to say to you folks, hell will someday come to an end. I know you're going to say to me, Jerry, how can a loving, caring, compassionate God assign anybody to hell forever? They assign themselves there. By refusing to believe in Jesus Christ, you are actually saying, I want to go to hell. I want to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Which brings me to the fifth world of the Bible. Revelation 21. So the first world of the Bible, the pre-fall. Second world of the Bible, pre-flood. Third world of the Bible, we're in it right now. The fourth world of the Bible will be the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The fifth world of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20 and 21. Excuse me, 21, 22. Verse 1 of chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Dan, that fits, doesn't it, our class today? For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Seven things will cease to exist in world number 5. Notice the seven things. First of all, there's no longer any sea. No more oceans. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepares a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. We are not told this until the last two chapters of the Bible. Isn't it amazing? In Genesis 1 and 2, God never tells us this. In fact, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be sitting in the front row. I have questions. You know what one of my first questions for God is? What did you do for all eternity before you made time? Is that a good question? That's my question for God. You can't ask it because I got it. Okay, that's my question. Because you wonder. Here we've got the God who's been forever. We've got eternity in this vastness. And all of a sudden, one day, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit say, let us create. Isn't that amazing? Let us create. This tells me why. But the Bible says right here, God made all this. In fact, he made us because he wants to live with us. Is he lonely? No. God's not lonely. But all of a sudden, out of nothing, he creates. He creates us differently from the angel kind. He creates us differently from all the animal kingdom. In fact, God said when he made us, let us make man in... See, you know it. We're made in his image. You say, why did he make us in his image? What was his plan and purpose that he would do this? Well, let's read the verse again. Okay? Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. Wow! Wow! We're going to be, God and I, we're going to be neighbors. We're going to be neighbors with God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death. That's number 2, be no more. The third thing, no more, or mourning. The fourth thing, no more, crying. The fifth thing, pain. Arthritis, people? Good news, arthritis, people. Migraines? They'll be gone. What's your ache and pain? Sue, you'll be able to hear perfectly. Isn't that wonderful? For the old order of things has passed away. Now chapter 22, with this we close. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal. So there's still water, but no oceans. Flowing from the throne and God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit we'll eat, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Number 6 will be no more. No longer will there be any curse. Why is there a curse? Because of sin. Because of the fall, there's a curse. Because of Satan, there's a curse. Because of sin, there's a curse. No longer will be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. And his servants will serve him. They will see. Now watch now, verse 4. The second thing why God did this. First of all, we're going to live with him. Secondly, they will see his face. We'll see the face of God. You say, Jerry, God's a spirit. God will so manifest himself that we'll be able to see his face. Oh, what wonderful. And his name will be on their foreheads. There will, and the seventh thing, no more, and there will be no more night. How many wait up 2 o'clock this morning to change your clocks? Don't have to do that anymore. No more nights. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. That is glorious, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? So the five words of the Bible. I want you to get it today. So when you go home today and talk over lunch, you say, okay, tell me the five words of the Bible. Challenge your mate. Okay? First word of the Bible is the pre-fall. Ended with the fall, didn't it? The second word of the Bible is the pre-flood. Ended with universal catastrophe, the flood. The third word of the Bible, we're living in it. Will it come to an end someday? Yes. Armageddon. Fourth word of the Bible, Christ ruling. Will it come to an end someday? Yes, Gog Magog. But the great news is we're anticipating the fifth word of the Bible, right? So heaven is not a cloud. Heaven is not playing a harp. Okay. Heaven is being present with God forever and ever. Do you know my God? Do you love my God? You're going to exist forever. So my question is, will you exist forever in the presence of God or exist forever in a place called hell? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you today that the Bible talks about our past. It talks about our present, but also talks about our future. Father, thank you for telling us the why. We don't know the why until we get to the end of the Bible. And you tell us the why. You made us in your image so we could live with you forever. Father, I pray this morning for anyone who's here whose name is not in the book of life. May this be a day of decision, Father, to say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe in the Son of God. Yes, I believe that he died for my sins. Yes, Jesus, come into my heart and my life. I want to exist forever with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.